table for a ride. I'd smoke the tactites like they was hooch, cause soon I'd know I'd have Zelda's cooch. I walked to meet the motherfucking Ganon. He disappeared like a ball from a cannon. I raised my voice and I shout out loud, I got the Triforce and I am proud. I finally hit him with the silver arrow, and you know I leave the rock. Even though the road to good is narrow, Zelda's on my jock. Cause my balls is big to be this brave. Princess Zelda is the one I save. Now I'm playing with power. The 1980s will never go sour.
Welcome to Hacker Media Public Access with your host A13Error, and
this is David Copperfield.
Hi, we're going to be talking about games. We don't really have a name for this show, since all the good names for gaming shows are taken. So, no name show. Got a lot of things to talk about. Halo 2, Half-Life 2, EverQuest 2, a lot of twos. A little bit of World of Warcraft I was messing with, and then our top 10 lists for other stuff. So, what do you want to jump into first?
Let's go with Half-Life 2.
Alright, Half-Life 2. Now, this game's been in production for, what, 10,000 years now?
It's the same.
Yeah, Half-Life came out, and they showed them Half-Life 2, and then Source got leaked, and no one heard about it for, like, 2 years, and now it's out. I don't think they actually had many in-store sales, since probably everyone had those API bring this in to get free Half-Life 2 things. So,
yep.
We should probably expect any in-store purchases. Anyway, this game's out, and I thought it was pretty cool looking at it. Nice new engine, the Source engine, I believe they call it. What's really cool about it is the facial animations for audio. They're in sync completely with the audio, unlike other games where it just moves and you have to imagine that, you know, it's doing what it's supposed to. This one, you can actually go in and edit the facial expression so that it completely matches. There's this whole system development or software development kit that you can get from Valve that will let you do this for your mods. And I thought that was pretty cool. But now that it came out and I started hearing more about the whole Steam stuff with it, I'm not really wanting to buy this. Mainly because you have to be on Steam all the time for it to work. And some people have been saying, like, it takes 5 minutes for the game to load because that's connect through Steam and load all their crap first. I think this is ridiculous. What do you have to say about this?
And the other awful thing with this is that you pretty much have to apply a month in advance to have a LAN party, which I don't think most people are going to go for at all.
Yeah, I was reading that on Flash. That's a bunch of crap. You have to apply a month early to play a game you paid for? Seriously, now. It's not like you're giving the CDs out at your LAN party. You're playing it. Something you paid for. Something that already has. Oh, man. It's ridiculous. I don't know what they're trying to do with this game. They just completely ruined it.
The physics engine is commendable, though. You can have hours of fun with just the cinder block.
Well, not to jump topics real quick, but Halo 2 was rated best game, and best game ever from IGN, I think. Half-Life 2 only got a 9.2 from GameSpot and a 9.7 from IGN. So I'm guessing Valve didn't pay up to IGN so they could get the best game ever for this week. Actually, as far as I know, there wasn't a best game ever this week. But 2 weeks ago, it was GTA San Andreas. And then it was Half-Life 2, or Halo 2. So, no best game this week. It's kind of sad.
And Metal Gear Solid 3 also just came out, so we have a pretty crazy collection of titles people have been waiting for.
Yeah. They seem to all be shooters. San Andreas, you're just shooting random people in a car. And the other
San Andreas
games,
has some interesting, the way they've done the RPG elements is kind of cool. With the way you conquer other gang territory is rather nicely done, in my opinion.
Yeah, I have this whole rant where I will never play this game. The whole reason I play Grand Theft Auto is to shoot people and to steal cars. If I wanted to play The Sims, I would play The freaking Sims. I want to hop in a car and shoot people. I have to go get my hair cut and eat and work out. Which I know people tell me, you don't have to do this. It's all optional, but still. Come on, the graphics look the same as GTA 3. Ooh, they added bikes. Wow. Yeah, there's a lot of games that are like GameCube bundle from EB Games, and I guess everyone's selling this, but if anyone's interested in getting GameCube, and they were thinking, oh, well, there's not much to really look forward like other games-wise with GameCube, so why bother? Well, now for $99, you can get the GameCube bundled with Mario Kart Double Dash for $100, and I believe it comes with two controllers. And most of the GameCube stuff has been multiplayer, like, well, Mario Kart and Mario Party and all the other Mario games seem to be like the really good multiplayer, like you're having a party type game where you just have a whole bunch of people. So I'm thinking I'm going to get that in the next few weeks because, well, I don't have any multiplayer games that don't require a computer. So.
Halo 2, I have some objections with how they've changed the original pistol, but besides that, it's an incredible game to play.
I guess you're going to have to... how much have you played this?
Not the most, but all my friends own it, so I can go with what they say, but my personal experience with it isn't the most.
Yeah, well, I refuse to play it, so how about you give a review of gameplay?
Okay.
Of what you have played.
I've heard the single player is rather dismal, but on co-op it's fun, but on story it's rather lacking this time around. But the multiplayer, which is more of... it's just incredible, because of course you can play as the Covenant now, and you wouldn't think that being able to wield a sword and just toss people about 10 feet through the air, isn't that cool? But it's so good. You can actually lunge with it as well, and take out like 3 people in one blow. And, well, they've kind of changed things with the Rocket Warthog, which is in the computer game, but it's now just standard to Halo 2. You can basically take out anything, because tanks can actually shoot faster now, but the turrets rotate just as slowly. If you have a good gunner in the Warthog, it's dead. You can't actually shoot people out of tanks anymore, which I personally find somewhat disappointing, because I always loved the headshots to do that. Yeah, the original pistol is sadly missing its scope, which I find to be a downfall of it. But it just feels so good to play, especially stealing vehicles from other people, because you're playing a plasma grenade on like the side of a tank, the guy runs down, you melee him in the back of the head, and now you have a new vehicle. So that's pretty fun. And the new Ghost Boost ability can make things go a bit faster. So I like it in that respect. So, and the new game type making is somewhat interesting. So I'd recommend getting it. If you already have an Xbox, then you just basically have to get it. And there's really no story with it. If you don't, I myself am planning on getting one to play this, especially if you have a high-speed internet connection so you can do live, because I'd really recommend it, because it started a whole new server system. But it's completely different than what you'd expect coming from a PC gaming background, because there's not really serverless per se. It's just you can select who you're going to play with, but it automatically makes the matches for you. And if the person serving drops, it automatically determines who will be the next server, so that the game doesn't cut out or anything. So it's actually a much more enjoyable experience once you get used to it. But it might take a little getting used to.
Does it rank the people that are going to be in the match by the skill?
Yes, there is automatic skill ranking, so you'll play against people about your own experience, but you can tweak that so you can play with other people if you wanted to.
Nice.
Or like if you always wanted to, or if you had one of your friends and you wanted to be matched in their team, it'll do that for you.
The whole thing where if the pressure on the server drops, it changes. I really like that.
Yeah, so games are always continuous, so like if some guy just randomly sets me in an asshole and like gets off, the whole thing keeps going. So
been,
just, the whole experience is more streamlined.
There have been many times where you've been playing and all of a sudden, let's change the map, and they change it. Well, you're having a lot of fun. Well, I guess with that, you keep playing with the people that wanted to stay.
Yeah.
That's really cool.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, games can fragment like that, fine. And no one knows the difference, and everybody still gets to do what they want to do.
So what kind of rating would you give this?
It would, give me a scale to rate it by or something.
Well, I kind of like the scale that Gamer Radio uses, which they rate it by price, how much you would pay for it.
Mm-hmm.
And so what would you pay for it?
Okay. Assuming I had an Xbox and live as well as a connection, I'd say I'd probably pay around, I want to say like $92. Where at first I wouldn't want to at all, and I'd be like, this is not worth it. But then it's like crack, where you never want to pay for it at first, then it's like you just need it. So it actually depends. I think if I played it previously, then I would almost spend any amount of money. But if I hadn't, I'd be wary of it. But
sounds like that game is really good.
Yeah. Single play, if you like don't have a bunch of people to play with, though, I completely advise that you don't buy it at all.
So you're saying it's only if you have a lot of people playing.
Yeah, it's all good for multiplayer. But single player is going to make you hate Halo completely. And it might suck even more, which is a pretty good feat these days.
Yeah, I heard it was something like 10 hours to beat the single player.
Yeah, and I don't know, like, ruin anything for any people, but it's, well, there's some interesting points that they make in the single player and everything, and the kind of like the new setup of it, you're probably not going to be satisfied with it at all, especially the ending. But then you'll go to multiplayer and be like, why did I even bother with a single player? And then your life will be good.
I hear the ending is really crappy.
Yeah. But the multiplayer completely makes up for it. And I'd advise, like, if you want to, sure, do the single player, but why not just jump to what you really want to play, which would be multiplayer. It's so just amusing to play. It's just, you always want to do it. And you know how the original Halo had the default names, like if you didn't want to make the player profiles, which are completely random? Well, the new ones are even more amusing because one of them is just default. And it has, of course, the running count of how people are killing each other. So say someone like shoots you with a pistol or whatever, and they kill you, and it will have like whoever got shot by default.
Yeah.
So it's a slightly humorous thing to add to it. But
nice.
It's good. I greatly enjoy it.
All right. But I still have Unreal 2004, so I have my first person shooter. I don't think I'll be playing.
Yeah.
Unless I'm at someone's house and they don't have a PC, then I might have to try it.
Yeah. And I've got this Netgear hub, so I'm probably going to have all my friends over with all their Xboxes and get like a 16-player game going. That'll be good.
Yeah. I don't know what we should move on to next. On the show notes, I have this one note that doesn't really require much talk, so Drawn Together is funny as hell. Watch that shit. Yeah. That show is really, really funny. It's like half the characters are from either game-based cartoons or games, like Link, well, Xander. Have you seen the show?
No, I've seen the commercials, though, but I have yet to see the actual show.
All right, you need to watch this. There's, you know how Family Guy has a lot of sort of hidden jokes in there? You have
yes.
to watch it four times to catch them all?
Mm-hmm.
This is sort of like that, but not on the caliber that Family Guy has. There's so many jokes in there. Most of them are kind of racial, but oh well, it's all good. So, yeah, I recommend that everyone watch this. Because it's really funny.
Mm-hmm.
All right. I guess we can move along. Do you have...
Actually, a quick cartoon-related thing would be for anyone who just got Half-Life 2, Penny Arcade, about like the last three comics have slightly to deal with it, and I'd recommend them. They're pretty good relating to the game and everything.
And you have a URL for anyone that doesn't know what that is?
Oh, it's just penny-arcade.com. And the hyphen is very crucial, because pennyarcade.com is actually is our site. Last time I checked, unless someone hopefully took it down. So yeah, just penny-arcade.com.
All right. How about the top 10 game list thing we had going?
You have yours, or do you want me to do mine first? You can go with yours first.
All right. We were going to do top 10 of all time, but then we decided we're going to split it up between all time and this year, like this summer and after, new stuff. So mine is no longer top 10. It got cut down to top 5 of all time and top 3 this year. So I'll go ahead and start. Of all time, number 1 is Final Fantasy IX. This is an RPG for PlayStation. These aren't in order of like how good they are. They're just a top five. And they're all in different categories, like RPG, MMO, shooter, platformer, or RTS. Or racing. Number two, RuneScape Classic. It's MMO. This is an MMO that's like browser-based. It's completely written in Java. So you can play it on any system that has enough processor and RAM to run it. It's sort of an ADD game. It's only clicking. The only time you use a keyboard is if you're talking. So there's not too much story behind it, but it's one of those games where, you know, like Counter-Strike, you get addicted and you're addicted forever. The quality of it isn't too great. It gets very repetitive, but once again, if you get hooked, you're going to stay hooked. I've played this game for 2 years and then had to take a break because it was just getting ridiculous. And at that time, they were working on a beta for RuneScape 2, which is a 3D version. Now, the classic one, it's sort of 3D. It's like pseudo-3D. Like, all the sprites have multi-sides, but they're flat. And you really notice this when you're in combat, because they'll spin the screen around, and they'll always be facing you the same way. So, that kind of sucks. But in the new version, they fixed all this. It's all nice and 3D'd up. But the game got easier. Now, me, since I was playing for 2 years, and then took a break and came back to try out the new version. Just put this in perspective, there are 19 skills, I believe, maybe 20 now, and they each go from level 1 to 99. I had accumulated a skill total of 1,120 before I quit, and whenever I came back, I got another 100 in the matter of 2 months. Now, they did add a new skill, which got me most of those levels, but they made the game easier, a lot easier. So the people that have been playing the whole time, now what they have doesn't mean as much, and I think that's a bunch of crap. Everything got easier. They're still making it easier to this day. The last update made it where you can do things twice as fast, it seems. So, yeah, I recommend the old version, not the new one, because I like the old school. Number three on the list is Unreal 2004. This is a first-person shooter for PC. For multiplayer, this is perhaps the best game for a PC, for first-person shooter at least. I'm always playing this game. It's great to just hop in and go get some headshots and then log out and do something productive. Since I don't plan on playing Half-Life 2 or any of its Steam-based counterparts, I'm going to have to stick with this game for a while. Next on the list, number four, it's Mario 64 for Nintendo 64 as a platformer. This game was awesome. If anyone's ever played it, you know what I mean. It was great. If you haven't ever played it, either go buy Nintendo 64 in this game, or, dare I say it, get the emulation. It's just that good. Number five, Warcraft 3. It's a real-time strategy. And Warcraft 3, The Frozen Throne, which is the expansion. This was the first RTS I ever played. I never found any before this that I was actually interested in, and I just found this one recently. Multiplayer is really fun. Every time I have a LAN party, which is like once every 2 weeks now, we play this for the first 12 hours or so on some crazy maps we make. And then we go to first-person shooters for quick kills and then take a nap. Most of what is as fun is playing with real people. Playing with bots is okay, but most of the bots are like crazy hard, it seems. And now the top three for this year. I'll just keep this short. EverQuest 2, number one, it's an MMO. Warhammer 40K, Dawn of War, it's a real-time strategy. I just finished this game. The campaign, single-player campaign, is really short. It's only 11 missions. You can probably get it done in a matter of 6 hours. In the multiplayer, it's not too great. It's not as good as Warcraft 3's, but it's really good with the new engine they have, where you can zoom around and change your angle completely. You can zoom all the way in and see the decals on the guy's shoulder. So I think it's pretty cool because of that. And number three is Gran Turismo 4. It's a racing game. It looks surreal. I love racing games, so I'm probably going to have to buy this. And that's the end of my top eight. So if you want to go ahead and do yours.
Yeah. Mine is going to be a random collection of games, basically during my entire life. First is an RTS called Total Annihilation. It came out around, I want to say, like 1996. And to this day, I hold above all other RTSs. One of the things that made it last so long, and people are so devoted to it, they're actually attempting to buy the license off of the decrepit company that originally made it, that has since been, like, killed since then. But the whole thing is pretty much data-driven. So there were a bunch of patches made so that each side has around, like, 300-something unique units each, which just makes insane strategies for it. And the economy system is fluid, so it's not like Command and Conquer, that say you want to make a unit, you need 300 of a resource first, and then it just drops to nothing. This, it'll take like 2 per second of whatever resources you have, but if you accumulate resources at 5, you'll still be making 3 resources every second. So I like it in that respect as well. And the whole thing is pretty ghetto 3D, since it's that far back, but I still like how it looks. And the whole thing is based where you start with one unit and go out from there. The other one is a game that recently came out. It's only $20 you can get for the PS2, which is Katamari Damacy, which most people look at it and say, that's the dumbest looking thing I've ever seen, and it's garbage, which is a pretty fair guess looking at it, but it is so addictive and fun, it's ridiculous. For those who haven't heard of it, you start off about a millimeter high, and you have this ball, and you just roll it around collecting random items. It'll start with, like, thumbtacks, move on to a piece of gum, get some caramels. Eventually, you have someone's stereos and their cat, people, the houses, fences, get a Ferris wheel, a sperm whale, and a giant octopus, and it just keeps going on until you start getting random Japanese gods. So it's really amusing in that respect, and the way you make constellations, and the point of the game is to remake the entire cosmos, basically, and when you make constellations, you're going to make cancer. You go into a special level that's all crabs, and you have to get as many as you can, and they're all various sizes. San Andreas I have to recommend because it's simply fun when you want to do just random crap. And they still have some random graphics and physics glitches that are really fun to mess around with. And if you get your biking skills maxed, you can bike hop over 3 cars and in the streetlights, which is just hilarious. And the highways are great for causing mayhem. The original Metal Gear Solid for PlayStation is probably my favorite game there is. The story is excellent, but of course the graphics these days don't mean anything, but that's not really important. Seriously, it's just, even if you like hate Sony, think they're the devil, you need to get a PlayStation and play this game. I can't recommend it more, really. And GoldenEye 64, even though Sony first person shooters now, I still enjoy playing that. Because licensed killer pistols will beat any modern game type, period. And, I think we'll go with those. Because I'll just keep talking for an hour with this.
Alright. Let me pull this show notes back out. See what's next on the list. The list is actually kind of short now. I was going to go over some other online radio shows about games. There's 4 that I found, if sounds good. First is Gamer Radio, Games and More Entertainment Radio, at www.hwhq.com. This is ran by C4, and he's pretty cool. I've been listening to every episode to date I've listened to, and some of them aren't too great, but the majority of them are really good to listen to. It's always packed full of info. Most of the time, it's not info everyone likes. Whenever he was talking about Final Fantasy XI, a lot of people started making fun of him because of that, but I really liked the stories he had with it, like just in-game stuff that was going on that's not part of the game. One story was a whole bunch of Tartars got up on a bar, and they just started doing karaoke. Like 5 of them were up there dancing, singing, and the whole bar started filling up with people, so they're having a good time. And I think that's really cool. That's not like part of the game, that's just something they chose to do. Next is Trainwreck Radio. And I named it this because they keep changing names. It used to be Radio, and EverQuest Radio, and now I think it's World of Warcraft Radio or Ogre Radio, Online Gaming Radio. I don't know. They changed so much. And you can find this at csr-networks.com. Number three is WoW Radio. This is pretty much the licensed, no-thrills version of Trainwreck Radio. And that there's no cursing. There's no talk of anything fun, it seems. It's all content, all info about stuff that's going on in the game, which is good sometimes and bad sometimes. It does get kind of boring. And it seems that you can only get the newest episode right now. All the other mirrors are locked with a password. And I don't know what that says about this show, that they're trying to lock everything down, but I don't know. I still recommend at least the newest episode. And you can find that at www.wcrradio.com. And the last is Squizzy Radio. Now, this is pretty much just about Counter-Strike. Some guys that are in some Counter-Strike clan in Texas, I believe, talking about it. It's kind of crappy. There's like 7 episodes, and 90% of it's just them saying gay and fag, because that's what Counter-Strike players do. But there's a little bit of good stuff in there. And you can find this at www.hackermedia.net/squizzy. That's S-Q-U-I-Z-Z-Y. So I'll have about that. You have anything to add to this?
Just for pure source of humor, if anyone hasn't heard of Pure Pwnage.
Yes.
Yes. I would recommend seeing that and stuff because, like, you know, it's good. And if you can get by just the guy speaking, then I commend you, because it gets pretty ridiculous.
Yeah, I almost forgot to mention that. That's really good. The show is always good for a couple laughs. There's 4 episodes up. I don't even think they're going to have another one, because it got kind of ridiculous with that 4th episode.
Yeah, the 4th was pretty conclusive.
Yeah, you can find that at www.puretwnage.com. They're all in DivX, I believe. So,
yes.
That's all I have for, like, other gaming media. Oh, Red Pill versus Blue Pill. I just discovered this, like, 2 days ago, and it's some funny stuff. Have you ever seen any of these?
What?
Red Pill versus Blue Pill.
I've never heard of it.
Maybe it's Red versus Blue.
You know, oh, Red versus Blue, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Where I seen it, they had fine. Maybe I was wrong. I was dealing with some crappy mirror.
Yeah, I have the first season DVD, and I'm going to buy the second.
So, how can you explain this? Because I've only seen 1 episode, so maybe you can give a little more info about it.
Okay. Well, basically, take a group of about 8 guys, only one being a professional actor, and one from the military, and give them 2 Xboxes networked together and a computer with QuickTime on it. What they do is, using just only the Halo engine and recording their own voices, they make a story out of this. And any of you who played Halo know, if you're using the pistol or any weapon, certain movements will make the head appear to be shaking up and down. So they use that to do a conversation. And it is a bunch of Halo in-jokes, but even if you've never even seen an Xbox, you can still enjoy the show. And it's just incredibly amusing. Where it has one of the levels in Halo, Blood Gulch, where you're pretty much in a box canyon with 2 bases. And so they make a bunch of military humor as well about, like, why would they be fighting over a canyon that can't lead to anywhere else. And so they just go on and on. Of course, hilarity ensues. Ridiculous things happen every now and then. There is a Mexican robot, because no show is complete without one. And of course, there's a whole debacle in naming the Warthog what it's called. So basically, you just have to see it. It's really what it amounts to.
You have a URL for this?
It's just pressblue.com, actually. Unless I'm going completely brain dead. Yeah, it's just VS, not actually versus, spelled out. So it's just RDVSBLUE.com. And it's great fun.
Right, those are 2 gaming movie/shows that keep you interested. I've seen so far, most, at least Squirrel Side, pretty funny.
Yeah.
Real quick, I was going to give some links of stuff for people to read. There's like four links.
Mm-hmm.
The first is gamedev.net, and it's spelled just like you say it. This is a giant forum full of like 10,000 people that are posting every day with all kinds of stuff, really helpful stuff, really, really smart people there. If you want to look into it, that's a really good forum to start with. The second is pixel art stuff, and it's pixeltutorial.cjb.net. This is a tutorial on how to do simple pixel art stuff. And since I had like no artistic skills at all, going there and reading that was sort of helpful. Now I understand a little bit more about how it works. And they have forums at pixelation.cjb.net. The third site is this giant list of links that have everything. Manuals on how OpenGL works, DirectX works, everything. This is long URL. It's www.acm.uiuc.edu/gamebuilders/services/links.html. And all of this will be up in whatever show notes we have or accompanied in a text file. So that's all I have if you want to start talking about Squirrel Side or whatever.
Just a few more game development things. If you wanted to do a 3D game, which of course is a ridiculous amount of work, but if you think you can do it, I'd like to recommend Nihi. I don't remember what type of domain it is, but if you just search Google for it, it's just capital N, lowercase e, capital H, lowercase e. They do all kinds of work with OpenGL, and I think that'd be a great place to start. And another one, if you just want to see what like people at Full Sail are doing, and then writing about their experiences, and like actually showing you some of the code, is Gama Sutra. Spelled exactly like Gama Sutra, but just starting with a G. That's another useful thing. Just doesn't have as much concrete like stuff to learn by that game dev has, but it's pretty good. Now I'll tell you about the current game I'm working on for Windows, which uses DirectX, and it's Squirrel Side.
Yeah, we had a little fight about the name. So
yes.
What was the name you decided on?
It is Squirrel Side, although I'm going to compile you a special version with the title you wanted.
All right, which is Squirrel Aside.
Yes.
All right.
We had a few phonetic differences between us, but I think we've resolved that. So the game, basically the way it works is, those of you who work with servers might get the joke, where whenever occasionally squirrels will chew through the fiber optic cable going to pilot servers, knocking out the whole installation. And when this happens, we say they got squirrel-sided. So in my game, you start with only a keyboard, and you have to fend off these squirrels that walk out from the woods and attempt to chew on your cable. And you have, and each level is, you're like downloading an item, and so the higher you keep your bandwidth, the faster the levels go, and the better things you get. So as squirrels chew on it, your bandwidth, of course, goes down. After a few levels, you get the mouse, which you can then whip around you to hit more of them. You move on to a monitor, which you can just slam on the ground to stun a few. And then, of course, you can eventually throw vending machines at them for no reason whatsoever, but simply because it makes it fun. And so you start with normal gray squirrels, which everyone expects. Then it moves on to the black, red-eyed squirrels, which are, of course, pure evil and breathe fire, which poses a slightly more threat. And then white squirrels, which move faster and heal the others. And so then it gets off on its tangents, all kinds of woodland creatures, plotting to destroy you and your server. And so that's basically where the game is now. The art is pretty awful right now, if you know anything of programmer art. But I actually have found someone that will eventually redraw everything. So it's going to look pretty decent when it ends. And there'll be sound. And it should be pretty interesting, if not just hilarious to look at. Well, that's done. You can get it at my site, which is imaginarynumber.webhop.net. So it's imaginary number is one word, no hyphens or anything like it's spelled. Then webhop, same thing, just webhop.net. And you can also find the previous games I've made, where I made a graphical version of the old school text game Lander, which is pretty much just infuriating and will make you want to kill yourself before you beat it. But you might find some amusement from it. And the game I'm proudest of at the moment is Triangulation, which is my tribute to all the old arcade games like Asteroids and the originals. It's all vector-based graphics. That was fun to ask again, by the way. It actually does some old-school things, like it does fake image ghosting at times, or pixel tearing that I programmed in, just so it seems more authentic. And so you start out just with this triangle fighting off circles that attack you, then squares that can shoot, and eventually fending off other triangles. And lots of people are amused by it. There's no sound. Everything has classic sound to it. Then it's much more amusing to actually listen to people play it and make their own sounds, I found, so I took all the sound down. It'll work on any version of Windows. The 95 and 98 support's kind of fuzzy because they have a pretty broken graphics API, so every now and then all the colors will change to one. But if it's on an XP or set, my top score is 76,700, and if you beat that, I'd like to know so that I can stop playing again and just kill you since I made it. And that's pretty much my story of the game.
All right. Anything else you want to cover? You can go ahead and wrap this up.
There's one thing that's gotten in the way of game development now, especially with Windows, is Microsoft no longer has the DirectX 8 SDK for download, but it's not they don't want you to download it anymore as much as they just don't feel like hosting it anymore. So I will probably put that up on my site, though, if any of you want to get it, because that's a really good place to start getting into Windows development games, because it just handles sound, input, graphics, and even if you want to make network games, it helps you with that. So that's a really good resource. So besides that, it's pretty much just get yourself some kind of C++ compiler and just get to it.
I was going to do a little quick talk about what I've been doing past little while, and that's the LAN parties. Pretty much just me and a friend Ron one day decided let's have a LAN party because Warcraft 3 is just so awesome. So he brought his computer over, and after a little bit of work with XP to make them both work together, which was problems on my part because I kind of broke something somewhere, we started playing Warcraft 3. And we've been doing this pretty much every other week, sometimes every week, and we're doing this again next Tuesday. This time I'm having a lot more people over, like 4 or 5, which is pretty much the most my crappy router slash hub can handle. So in the near future, I'm going to be buying a Pentium 3 or so game server and getting a lot better router so that I can do all this. And if anyone hasn't ever been to a LAN party, I suggest finding somewhere around you that does these, because trust me, there's going to be someone around you unless you live like in backwoods West Virginia or something. And it's real fun. You think a game is fun when you're sitting there playing by yourself? Just wait till there's someone beside you. That whenever you get that headshot, you hear "fuck" screamed across the room. That's 10 times better than just the headshot alone. So yeah, LAN parties are fun stuff. I think that's pretty much it.
Yeah, I have one quick thing for just a game to look out for. Some of you may have played System Shock 2, which I personally think I'm going to get shot for this, eats Half-Life in gameplay. But so I'm looking at that if you want to. But they're actually making a sequel to that now called Bioshock, which should be the best thing in immersion gameplay that's ever existed. So I'd recommend looking into that if you feel like. And besides that, yeah, I'm pretty much done.
Alright, do you
want to
give any shouts to anybody?
For everyone playing Counter-Strike and such, I'd advise you to look out for Dr. Kevorkian, who's my computer science teacher, and just spend basically his entire budget on buying computers instead of cars. So I'd like to give a shout out to Mr. Tolan. And that's it.
Is that it?
Yep.
Alright, I'll give shouts out to Kizzle, which is supposed to be hosting this on the Hacker Media Public Access Project. Shouts to DJ Mollusk. That's a cool guy and knows a lot about Dreamcast emulation and all that good stuff. Shouts to everybody in the whole gamer scene. Well, it's not really a scene. Everyone that hangs out in the IRC chat, at least. Except for Modem. I guess that's it. So, the intro music will probably be something game-based, which you already know since you're this far in. And the outro, if I have two gaming-related songs somewhere, there'll be a second. So
I have, like, 2 hours of MIDI music from Nintendo and Sega, so I think we can find some good stuff.
We'll find something good, which the intro, you know, is already good. So, okay.
See
you. You borrow my car, and then you give it a test.
What, the Mario test?
Mario. Mario's a fucking psycho.
It's 1986, I'm in the first grade. I'm working really hard to get Mario laid. I gotta save the princess so he can get the pussy. Believe me, Mario will get that ass, so fuck Luigi. Mario really wants to get her in bed, so bad that he's busting up bricks with his head. He just wants sex, so forget the wedding bells. Jumping on little mushroom men and turtle cells, dropping down green pipes and secret passageways, making his move to the end where the final castle lays. Eat a magic mushroom, grow a little higher. Eat a white flower and spit balls of fire. All these creatures that attack won't cut Mario slack. Oh shit, hold on, I'll be right back. I'm gonna beat the game if it takes me all summer. It's gotta be hard to get laid if you're a plumber. That's why I'm gonna work extra hard for my man and get him to the end so we can stop using his hand. Mario doesn't wanna get hit, he'll shrink. The princess won't fuck a little kid, I think. So stay grown and attend to your own, and eventually the princess will attend to your bone.
Save the princess quick, because she wants a dick. And if you let her free, you get the pussy. Save the princess quick, because she wants a dick. And if you let her free, you get the pussy.
Bowser's trying to get head right now from the princess, but if it's up to me, that's it'll stop this instance. Cloud people throwing little spiked animals, green plants with teeth that attack like cannibals. I heard nobody's yet running the princess's oven, and Mario always says,
"Virgin, I love him."
I hate the Koopa Troopas, so I'm gonna run up and jump on the back of their cells till I get one up. I'm gonna keep playing and I'm never gonna quit, cause some kid at school told me you can see the princess tits. I wanna beat it before any of my friends do, so I can say I put pussy up on Mario's menu. At the end of each level, I jump and get the flag and say to myself, another castle in the bag. I hope Bowser's ready cause he's in for a ride, and Mario's serious when it comes to homicide. The princess is a freak even though she has class. Mario will take a plunger and put it in her ass. I hate the cannons that shoot at you constantly, and I hate platforms that fall out from below me. It's all worthwhile just to see Mario smile, standing next to the princess, spark naked profile. That's why it's my crusade to get Mario laid. Super Mario Brothers, best game ever made.
Save the princess quick, because she wants a dick. And if you let her free, you get the pussy. Save the princess quick, because she wants a dick. And if you let her free, you get the pussy.